All right, everybody ready for tonight? I'm going to talk about something that all of us deal with continually. And it's called stress. We can live above stress. We're all going to have it. All of us is going to have stress. This was several years old now, so I imagine it's a lot more than that. But this report says from the American Psychological Association, back in 2011, 44% report that their stress level has increased over the past 5 years. I bet it's increased over the last 10, 12 years. I bet it's increased more than that now. But, and I don't know whether these are up-to-date statistics or not, but what the deal I was reading from says 43% of all adults suffer adverse health effects from stress. 75 to 90% of all doctor's office visits are stress-related. Stress plays a large part in our physical and mental area, with headaches and high blood pressure and heart problems and arthritis, depression, anxiety, and all of that. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration declares that stress costs the American industry more than $3 billion annually. Now, we all try to deal with stress. People try to deal with stress in the natural, and that is good and it's necessary. But we as believers have something more that we can access, and that is the spirit side. You know, we need to do all we can do and know to do in the natural, but we need to incorporate the spiritual truths from the Word of God. We need both the natural and the spiritual, and of course we're going to my saying, the natural and the supernatural coming together, make an explosive force for God, and that'll help us live above stress. Now, dealing with stress is talked about in the Bible. David says this in Psalms 119:43. I'm going to read the New Living and the Message. Psalms 119:143. Psalms 119:143. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. Now the Message said, even though troubles come down on me hard, your commands give me delight. David here says that there is pressure and there is stress that bear down on him. If they were bearing down on King David, then I know we got them bearing down on us too. But he said that he found joy in your command, the commands of God. One way that he dealt with this is, and you can read it in his Psalms, is he delighted himself in the Word. He delighted himself in the Word. The number one thing that we've got to learn in dealing with stress is to delight ourselves in the Word of God. Now, the parable of the sower, Jesus talks about people who are like seeds planted in the thorns. Now, Mark 4:18-19, New King James says, Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter to choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, I really like the way the Message says this. The seed cast into the weeds represents the one who hears the kingdom news, but are overwhelmed by the worries about all of the things they have to do and all of the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard, and nothing comes of it. Actually, this is saying that stress nullified the word that the people heard. See, these stressed out people heard the word, but they didn't receive any benefit from it. You know, living a stressed out life is detrimental to our spiritual growth. Now, we need to learn how to live above stress. We all face it. Every one of us has stress. But God wants his people to live above that, not stressed out. He didn't say you wouldn't have it. He said you don't need to be stressed out. Come on. You know, some Christians, they have no peace of mind. They're full of fear and worry, and they're always talking about, oh, I'm just afraid of this is going to happen. I'm just afraid that's going to happen, you know. And if you run into these people, they'll tell you all the latest crisis that they've been dealing with. Anybody ever found any, seen anybody like that? You know, you can't receive the best from God living a stressed out life. Look at Moses now. This is a little different, but I'm going to use this to show you something. In the contemporary English version of Exodus 18:13, and I'm going to read the whole discourse all the way through 23. The next morning, Moses sat down at the place where he decided legal cases for the people, and everyone crowded around him until evening. Jethro saw how much Moses had to do for the people, and he asked, "Why are you the only judge? Why do you let these people crowd around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered, "Because they come here to find out what God wants them to do. They bring their complaints to me, and I make decisions based on God's laws." Jethro replied, "That isn't the best way to do it. You and the people who come to you will soon be worn out. The job is too much for one person. You can't do it alone. God will help you if you'll follow my advice. You should be the one that speaks to God for the people, and you should teach them God's laws and show them what they must do to live right. You will need to appoint some competent leaders who respect God and trustworthy and honest, and then put them over groups of 50, 10, 50, and 100, and 1,000. These judges can handle the ordinary cases and bring the more difficult ones to you. Having them to share the load will make your work easier. Now, this is the way God wants it done. You won't be under nearly as much stress, and everyone will return home feeling satisfied." Now, you got to realize that they did not have, the children of Israel didn't have the Spirit of God. Only Moses and Aaron were the ones that were anointed. And that's why he would have to go to God. Now, here he's trying to do more than one person can do. He's overworked. He's trying to help everybody with their problems. And Jethro, his father-in-law, saw this, and he shared this with Moses. Now, I want to turn this to you guys and myself. Sometimes the way we're handling our work will cause us more stress than necessary. We try to do everything ourselves instead of getting help or delegating something to somebody else. Hello. You ever seen somebody that they're actually sort of they're the boss, but they're doing all the work? In fact, I had a person tell me one time, "Oh, it's just I'm not going to tell them. It's just easier for me to go do it myself." You know, many, 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 many years ago, we were having camp meeting, and we did the first two camp meetings was at Sheridan Assembly, and then we went to the Skyline East as a hotel there. I think it's an office building now. And I'm in charge of camp meeting, and so I'm down in the hall helping my guys set up video equipment, pulling cables, and doing all kinds of stuff. And at that time, one of our board members, one of our businessmen, it was one of our board members of Kenneth Hagin Ministries, he was there, and he he walked in, he looked around, he came up to me and he said, What are you doing? I said, oh, I'm helping them set up. And he asked me a question that I have. He said, Is this your job? I said, well, no, but I'm trying to help these guys. He said, listen, why don't you go do your job? Because, see, I should have been out over looking, walking around, checking on other things and everything. And he said, if these guys can't do it, get rid of them and get some that can. Now, he was a businessman, and he was a developer. In fact, he could go down and get a large loan at the bank just on his signature. He didn't even have to have any collateral. And I began to realize his success was the fact that he had this large corporation is overseeing, but his success was that he wasn't trying to do it himself. He had people underneath him. He delegated it out. You know, sometimes people try to do it all theirself, even in your home. Sometimes you know. And then sometimes we create stress because we wait to the last minute. You know, I'm called the senior pastor, I guess, but hey, I got these guys underneath here that I delegate stuff to. We got the church, we got the school, we got the Kenneth Hagin Ministries, we got Faith Library Publications, we got the television, we got radio. Hey, ain't no way I could do all that. Now I'm up here, but I got people underneath. How many understand what I'm trying to say to you? And then sometimes people try to do too much at once, and it'll cause stress. You know, you need to learn to just take it one step at a time. And then many times people are trying to do things above their knowledge level, and this will cause you stress. Instead of going and getting somebody that's got the knowledge, a professional, try to do it yourself, mess up more, and then it causes all kinds of problems. You know, figuring out the best way to do things will help us live above stress. Come on. You know, the truth is, we have stress in all kinds of situations, but we can change that by the way we handle it. Okay? One person said, it's not the stress that kills us, it's our reaction to it. William James, an American psychologist, said, the greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one's thoughts over another. Taking control of your thought life will help you live above stress. We have to guard our thoughts and take control of our thinking if we're going to live stress-free, okay? On Wednesday night, I'd like to give you life lessons. This is what I would call a life lesson. Okay? You know, let's look at some things here that we could focus on that can help us in living above stress. Now begin to think God thoughts. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Sometimes we're thinking about what might happen tomorrow and we haven't even finished today yet. That'll put a lot of stress on you. We'll talk about that in a minute. That was the New King James. In Isaiah NLT says, Isaiah 27, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. And then 1 John 4:16 says, we know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in his love. God's love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Stress can't rule over us when we're continually thinking. When the stress comes, we think God thoughts from the Word of God. Instead of, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, this might happen. This might happen. An understanding, realizing that God loves you. He does not want you to fear. He does not want you to worry. He wants you to be stress-free. He wants you to stay calm and not stressed out. We have to stand against the things that bring fear and worry and stress. You know, how does that, being confident that God will take care of you and me and all of us in any situation relieves stress. I would get completely stressed out if I didn't have all the people that helped me. And you know why I don't get stressed out? Because I am confident that they can take care of the job. Now, let's turn that around. We have to get the same way about God and be confident that God's going to take care of it, and then we got to quit even thinking about it. Y'all awful quiet. Y'all gone home? Anybody getting anything out of this? You know, you can't allow thoughts of fear to come into your mind. You know, the Apostle Paul, I mean, man, he had plenty of opportunities to be anxious and afraid. But in Romans 8:15 in the New Living, he says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful, slaves. Instead, you have received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children, and now we call him Abba Father. The J.B. Phillips translation says, nor are you meant to relapse into the old slavish attitude of fear. You've been adopted into the very family circle of God, and you can say with a full heart, Father, my Father. You see, we are the ones that control our mind, and we either let fear run rampant or we trust God. And of course, Paul said this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:7. You all know it, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. New Living says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power and love and self-discipline. The voice says, you see, God did not give us a cowardly spirit, but a powerful, loving, disciplined spirit. Paul understood who he was in Christ, and he continually thought that way. Now, we need to continually think in those patterns and not allow fear, because most of the time, stress is brought, fear and stress go together. Anybody ever notice that? Huh? Now, David was another person, like I said before, had many opportunities to be afraid. But listen to what he said now. Let's listen to what he said here in Psalms 27:1-3, the New Living Translation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. We need to, knowing that, see, we got, the Lord is the light of my salvation, so why should I be afraid? But the enemy wants to come in and he wants to pound your mind. Oh, this, until you get to a point you're just in a frenzy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever had that happen to you? We all have. But this is when we have to get back to depending on God. We talked about it there a while ago. They sang about it. God is for us, so forth, right? But sometimes when we get in the heat of the battle, it seems like that the enemy tries to steal that from us. We've got to get to the point that, hey, he said, if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. What's he going to remain confident about? He's going to remain confident that God's going to take care of the situation. You know, David knew that God was it. David knew his God. In some places he says, my God. And he was certain that God would protect him. So therefore he never yielded to fear. Fear opens the door to let stress operate at a high level in our lives. Did you realize that a lot of stress is built on fear and not upon actual facts? Because we get to thinking about the situation and the enemy begins to build it up and build it up and, oh, this could happen and this could happen and this could happen and this could happen. Until we get stressed, we've got to go back and say, I refuse to think these thoughts. My thought is on God. I am confident that he will take care of me. We resist thinking those in the pattern that the enemy or in the pattern that the normal natural world thinks. Come on. Have you ever noticed that people, when they get in situations, in the natural, I'm not talking about Christian now, but just people in the world, their immediate reaction is negative. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, this could happen. That could happen. Oh, they see clouds and they start, oh, it's going to be bad. Well, it may be bad. Somebody said that to me and I said, yeah, it can get bad, but I'm not in fear. What? No. I said, I trust my God. See, we need to realize that God wants us to live the good life. And the good life is not being full of fear and stress. Now, another way to not get into stress is to refuse to think about tomorrow's problems today. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. New Living Translation says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worry. Today's troubles is enough for today. Now I'm going to use something that my wife uses quite a bit. I've heard her tell people this. In her job, she was dealing with all these things and so forth and so on. And the Lord said to her, said, listen, I only give you grace for today. Tomorrow, when you face the things that's tomorrow, I'll give you grace to face that. Now, I'm sort of paraphrasing it, but that gets the point across, right? Anybody get what I'm talking about? See, we need to practice to focus then on today, what we have to do today. Don't focus on what might happen tomorrow. Take care of today. Sometimes people call it, say this, just take care of one thing at a time. Each day, take care of each day. Don't focus on tomorrow. Don't focus on yesterday. Because yesterday is over, it's done with. Nothing you can do about it. Today, focus on the day, because that will help alleviate tomorrow. Come on. Don't stress out about the future. Most of our fears about tomorrow never come to pass anyway. Boy, y'all are quiet tonight. I don't know whether you're listening or getting it, or whether I'm just way off base somewhere. I think you're really listening to what I'm saying. John Newton said this: we can easily manage if we will only take each day the burden appointed to it. But the load will be too heavy for us if we carry yesterday's burden over again to today and then add the burden of tomorrow before we are required to bear it. You know, when you're overly concerned about the things of tomorrow, it's very hard to be sufficiently focused on what's going on today. See, make the most of the present, doing what you need to do today. The same God that helped you yesterday is the same God that will help you today, and it's the same God that will help you tomorrow. You know, like that song says, he'll do it again. Don't know when or how or something, but he'll do it again. Okay, let's look at something else to live stress-free. Don't carry the burden. Don't cast every thought of worry and care on the Lord. That'll help you stay out of stress. David said this in Psalms 55:22, the New Living. Give your burdens to the Lord. He'll take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. And then, of course, we know what Peter instructed us in 1 Peter 5:7 in the New Living. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Now, the Amplified goes on, cast the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, because he cares for you affectionately, and he cares about you watchfully. J.B. Phillips' translation says, of the New Testament, you can throw your whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you're his personal concern. God is personally concerned about you living a good life. And you can't live a good life when you're all burdened down and stressed about everything that's going on. Some people are always afraid of what might happen next. In fact, a guy came up to my dad one day and said, Brother Hagin, you can't really ever tell what's going to happen. And my dad just looked him straight in the eye and said, yes, I can. I can tell you what's going to happen, what I believe for concerning what the Word of God says. That's what's going to happen. And this guy said, oh, and turned around and walked off. He didn't want to get it. Some people will say, I'm greatly concerned about this or that. But really what they're expressing is worry and fear. We got to, you know, I'm preaching to myself tonight as much as I'm preaching to anybody. I hope you're getting it. You see, He cares for us. We're his personal concern. You know, how many of you have children? Are you personally concerned about them? We're God's children. He's personally concerned about each one of us. He wants each one of us to have the best. I mean, you know, I have two children, and I wanted them to have everything that I could provide for them that I didn't have. And then I'm in a little better position financially and other ways than I was when they were growing up. And in fact, one time one of them said, well, the grandboy is getting a whole lot more than we got. And I said, yeah, I'm in a better position. I want them to have the best. God, how many of you want your kids and grandkids to have the best? And how many of you do everything you can to provide for them? I do. God is the same way. We're God's kids. And he wants us to have a great life. And it's time to quit, but let me go this. Think thoughts that will help you rest in the Lord. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing and as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. We need to rest in the Lord. Don't be stressed out by what's happening around you. You can't control what other people do and what everything is going around you, but you can control what happens to you in your household. People get stressed out by the wrongs that others are doing. Isaiah tells us, rest in the Lord. Don't be consumed by any other thoughts. Keep thinking about the great God. Keep thinking about his promises. Think about that he loves you and he wants to take care of you. Think about that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. He's greater than any stress or anything else. He has given your power. God will take care of his kids. He does not want you to be stressed out. So determine, resist thoughts of fear and stress. Cast all of your cares and say, okay, Lord, you take care of it. Okay? Anybody, did I help anybody tonight? Did you get anything out of this tonight? Everybody stand. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word tonight. May we take your word. May it be strong inside of us. And may we stand against all of the things that are coming against us and stand in your peace and your tranquility. You said that you would give us peace. You said you'd take care of us. So let us be confident in that fact. And let us rest in that fact. And not be stressed, but let us rest. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want you to know him before you leave here. That's the only way to get out of this stressful world, is to get into him. If you need to rededicate your life, then you can do that too. If you need prayer for any other thing, the ladies are here, the men are over here. As we're dismissed, come to the front. They'll pray with you about anything, whatever it is. If you want the Holy Spirit, if you want somebody to pray with you about a job, if you want somebody to pray with you about anything, just come to the front as we're dismissed. Remember all the announcements. We'll see you Sunday morning here for our special time. turn around and say, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to live stressed out. God bless you. We'll see you.